פרצת ימה וקימה, צפונה ונגבה. ופרצת 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 ימה וקימה, צפונה ונגבה. ופרצת ימה וקימה, ופרצת צפונה ונגבה. ופרצת ימה וקימה, ופרצת צפונה ונגבה. אהה, אהה, ופרצת, 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 ופרצת ימה וקדמה, צפונה ונגבה. ימה וקדמה, צפונה ונגבה. ימה וקדמה, צפונה ונגבה. ימה וקדמה, צפונה ונגבה. הארננו בתורה.
Good morning, good morning, Montreal, and welcome, welcome to the Jewish Digest on Radio Centreville 102.3 FM in Montreal. I'm your host, Leslie Lutsky, and we began today's program with some old Israeli campfire music, Ufaratza, performed by the band Shir. On today's program, my guest is author Nora Gold. Her first book, Marrow and Other Stories, won a Canadian Jewish Book Award, and her most recently published book, the novel Fields of Exile, deals with anti-Semitism and anti-Zionism in a university setting. I met with her about a month ago in Montreal, and I asked her to give an introduction to her book, Fields of Exile. And now my guest, Nora Gold.
My book is set in 2002-2003 in a fictitious university outside of Toronto, and it's a novel about anti-Israelism on campus.
What motivated you to write this book? And I know that you teach in a university. Did your experience at university encourage you to write the book?
I've spent a lot of my adult life in universities. I'm currently the writer-in-residence at OISE and University of Toronto, but I'm not a full-time professor anymore. But I do come from that world. And I've been very concerned for, I'd say, about 25, 30 years about this, not just the most recent bout of events have moved me to write this book. I lived in Israel, and I came back to Canada, and I was very struck with the anti-Israelism I perceived even as early as 1981.
The main character in your book, the protagonist, Judith, she is very, very much in love with Israel. She is in love with the people, with the history, with the geography. And at the same time, she has a certain thing she doesn't like, and you describe her love for Israel as that of a battered woman who keeps on returning to her husband. How do you make that comparison?
It might be a controversial comparison. The context in which I use that analogy is when she's talking about how unconditional her love is for Israel. And her love is unconditional. And she makes the point that the same way you can see the faults in your family, but you still love them, or a woman who's in a very problematic marriage will still stay there because of her passion or love. Judith loves Israel and won't give up on Israel regardless of the defects she sees in the current government, current meaning 2002-2003, and in the society as a whole.
And I should also add that Judith isn't your right-wing redneck. She's very, very active, has been in the Israeli peace movement. She is opposed to the government's policies in the occupied territories. She's certainly not from the right.
No, that's right. And I think that was, of course, intentional. I don't think, and people tell me it hasn't happened, that a left-wing protagonist who loves Israel has appeared before on this topic. In fact, it's the first book on this topic altogether, but having a left-wing protagonist was very important to me because I wanted to convey the nuance in the issues. I think particularly it's Israel-loving Jews on the left who have suffered a very particular experience over the past decade, even longer, but I think now it's even more apparent. And I think documenting what it's been like for progressive Jews like me, and like Judith, and like many others, of course, is very important. It's a very unique historical moment for those of us who thought that parts of the left were places that were safe for us, where we belonged, and where we discovered we're really not welcome as long as we continue to love Israel.
In the book, there's a lot of writing about the inconsistency, I'll call it, in the academic world, as well as anti-Israelism on campus. Did this book start out to write about the contradictory aspects of academic life and switch to the Israeli scene, or did it begin with the Israeli scene?
That's an excellent question, and that's very perceptive of you to pick up on that, I wouldn't say sub-theme, but the truth is I started out writing what I hoped would be a satire about academic life, and I discovered I'm not a satirist. It's actually not who I am. It's not really what I do. And gradually, you know, a novel takes on a life of its own. And gradually what happened was that the hypocrisy, I mean, you're kind to call it inconsistency, but I call it hypocrisy and dishonesty and cowardice that I observed in, not talking about any specific university or my own personal experiences, but that I observed in that world, began to center more and more specifically on Israel. There are obviously many ways one could send up the academic world, and I chose to focus it here. I think over time, the pain I was feeling about the marginalization of Israel within the academe became so central that it really took over the novel, I guess.
Judith is a very, very complex person, and you have her studying about an hour away from Toronto where she lives. Was this an opportunity to give her driving time to be able to sort through all her thoughts, all the complications she was dealing with?
You are a remarkable interviewer, actually, because most people don't get that at all. And yes, that is exactly what it was. A number of people try to speculate on what this fictitious university is based on. It's not based on any one university. And I picked that something an hour outside of Toronto because I wanted her to have an opportunity for reflection, and I wanted the reader to be able to see into her inner life. Her life at school and her life outside of school. She has an intense relationship with her boyfriend. She has a dying father, she had a dying father until a certain point in the book. Her life is very intensely social and political, and I felt that I wouldn't say it was a trick, but these drives to and from school are vehicles for showing the reader what her hopes and expectations are for a day as she drives to school, and then how she processes on the drive home what's happened to her. That was sort of provided that internal-external balance that I wanted.
Was Judith a hard person to bring to life on paper?
She was not. Actually, she came to life, I wouldn't say kicking or screaming, but with a very strong personality of her own. She and I did not always agree on what she should be doing or thinking or saying. There were things I wanted her to do that she simply refused. She just came whole. She was sort of born whole. And there are people who love her, and there are people, to my surprise, who absolutely detest her. Mm-hmm. I always find that very surprising, but there are people who have said that.
You're listening to the Jewish Digest on Radio Centreville in Montreal. My guest today, Nora Gold, is talking about her recently published book, Fields of Exile. We will go back to the interview in a little while, in a moment or two. But first, a little bit of music, some contemporary Israeli music by the singer Elisette. And this is a piece called Bagel Gul.
Thank you.
The name of the song is Bel Gilgul. The singer is Elisette, and she's kind of a contemporary Israeli singer. And we're going to go back to our interview now with author Nora Gold, talking about her book, Fields of Exile.
That.
In one of her classes, I believe it was Introduction to Social Justice, the topic of political oppression was introduced, and she became very, very nervous lest the topic of Israel-Palestine should come up. Other countries she would be more comfortable with. Do students or Jewish students on campus face these realities?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And so do professors. I mean, one thing that doesn't always get talked about is how hard it is for professors. I think, obviously, since I wrote this book from the perspective of a student, and it's a novel, it's not an essay, it's not a documentary, but I think students are the most vulnerable. But actually, I did some research for the Jewish community, the Canadian Jewish community, on what professors feel, and I interviewed 80 professors from four different Canadian universities, two in Quebec, two in Ontario, and tenured professors, and I found tremendous feelings of vulnerability and fear, and, you know, what's going to be said in a faculty meeting, where is the line where they're going to say that's the line for me and I'm going to have to stand up and fight it. So there's a certain parallel between students and professors' experiences.
Is there a line between anti-Zionism and anti-Semitism? And if so, where does the line exist?
The million-dollar question. Of course, you have to ask. In the book, in Fields of Exile, I describe Judith's evolution, because at the beginning of the book, as are many left-wing Jews who haven't given a lot of thought to the topic, she doesn't think of criticism of Israel as being anti-Semitic, intrinsically anti-Semitic, and of course it is not. As becomes clear in the book as she develops, anti-Zionism, anti-Israelism do not mean criticism of Israel. They are specific phenomena that are forms of anti-Semitism, and there's a whole literature on that, which I won't try to convey in two sentences in an interview. But if we're talking about the phenomenon of anti-Semitism that masquerades as criticism of Israel, that's a very specific phenomenon. And once you encounter that, and once you label it for what it is, once you see it and once you label it, and there are ways to identify, there are ways to differentiate between that and obviously legitimate critique. Once you see that, you know that you're in the presence of anti-Semitism, and one must respond to that. Of course, everyone decides where they draw that line. I certainly am not prescriptive in the novel. It's a description of one person's conclusion about that. But I think it helps to open the conversation, and it helps to invite readers to think about where they draw their own lines and what they would or wouldn't do once it becomes clear to them that they are dealing with anti-Semitism.
So when you were in the process of writing, did you have a particular audience or readership in mind?
Another very good question. I did not write this book for Jews. I wrote this book for what I think of as well-meaning people who haven't given it a lot of thought. For that reason, there's a glossary at the end of Jewish terms so that anyone can read this book. And I've actually had very positive feedback from my non-Jewish friends and colleagues, who, one of whom said to me, you know, I never understood about this. I never understood about you in Israel. I got everything else about you, but I never got that, you know, and now I get that. And I can really see what you've gone through for the past few decades. So that was very rewarding. Jews being Jews, the people that I love, the Jewish people that is mine, many of them, I would say, had a harder response to the book because the people who were on the left felt the left was criticized, people who were on the right, and different people. And I think people reacted very much through the lens of their own politics, their own biases. People who are anti-feminist, you know, didn't like Judith because she's a feminist. There's certain sexual elements to the book. Some people didn't like those. There are things that I think it's always the case that readers read a book through their own eyes, and I think it's inevitable that people respond subjectively. But I must say I've been very touched and heartened by the positive response by many writers whom I respect and community people. Most recently, Cynthia Ozick wrote me an email saying that she read Fields of Exile with nonstop enthralled admiration. So that made me very happy.
What about your own politics? Did any of it change through the writing and through the reaction from other people?
Certainly other people's reactions don't change me. I mean, people are entitled to their own politics, but I've spent a lot of time thinking and living with these ideas and thought them through very carefully before I wrote the book. I've also done research. My background, I did a national study on Canadian Jewish women, their experiences of sexism and anti-Semitism, comparing sexism and anti-Semitism. And to do that, I read hundreds of articles on anti-Semitism, and I read about 75 books. It was the most depressing 6 months of my life. But I came to this novel with a lot of very clear ideas and a lot of background knowledge, which helped in the writing. My politics are similar to Judith's, and perhaps I've been through a process something like Judith's in that I would say when I return, I used to live in Israel, and when I returned to Canada in 1981, my views were progressive, even further to the left than they are now, and I felt that the many of the criticisms of Israel were completely legitimate. I still feel that. I still feel that there are criticisms that are legitimate. As I began to recognize anti-Semitism mixed in with these criticisms in certain places and by certain people, I had a sort of awakening. I think most of us, progressive Jews, have had this awakening. I had it earlier than others, so I have helped in some ways guided some of my friends and colleagues through it. It's not something I would wish on anyone, but I think seeing things as they are is always better than not seeing them for what they are.
Fields of Exile has been described as a novel of ideas as well as a novel with a plot, subtext, etc. Was it difficult to write a novel of ideas?
Well, absolutely. It was extremely difficult. My first book was a book of stories, which won one of the Canadian Jewish Book Awards. It came out quite a long time ago. There's a serious challenge in writing a book like this because unless you're very careful, the novel gets overpowered by the ideas. You know, it would be very easy to have characters who are mouthpieces. Judith is on the left, her boyfriend is on the right, he's a right-wing tax lawyer, he's a very passionate capitalist, she's a passionate socialist. It would be very easy to have these kind of puppets to express these points of view. And I didn't want to write a diatribe or an essay or a polemic. I wanted to write a novel. And it took me 7 years till I felt that this was a breathing, living piece of work with breathing, living characters and where everybody was alive as opposed to a wooden puppet.
One of Judith's pastimes, perhaps yours too, is playing with words. So the title Fields of Exile, from exile, Judith got it to mean the dispersion of the Jews. How did that work?
Well, she likes to play word games, and she also likes to play number games. In fact, she invents a variation on gematria at one point, which turns out to have huge emotional impact on her. It actually helps her get through a very bad night. But of course, as we know, word games and number games, games aren't only games. They are profound expressions of subconscious thoughts and ideas. And she begins to play with words, exile. She becomes eggs. Isle, it's an island of eggs, and eggs in Hebrew is betzim, which is eggs, and broken eggs in exile can't possibly lead to the next generation, so exile leads to the end of the Jewish people, or something like that. It was approximately something like that. She has a wonderful appreciation of language. I think it's one of the things that makes her interesting and makes the book interesting, and she tends to do that when she's upset, and she gets upset at a few different points, and she tries to find salvation in words.
So what do? You spend a lot of time playing with words, breaking them up to lead to their logical conclusions.
Do I do that?
At least in the writing of the book.
In this book, I certainly did that. Yeah, I'm a word person. I love words, and I have in my first book there, in one of the stories, she reverses words and plays with poetics in certain ways, switches letters almost the way in certain kinds of Jewish study you can reverse two letters of a word to yield a deeper meaning to that particular word or verb. So, yeah, that's something that I like to do.
I'm talking with Nora Gold, author of Fields of Exile, published by Dundurn Press. And in another hat that you wear, you're the editor of JewishFiction.net. What is that?
JewishFiction.net is an online journal, free of charge, www.jewishfiction.net, that I started 4 years ago to make a publishing space for first-rate Jewish fiction from around the world. As I think most of you know, the publishing industry has been very hard hit and is in a crisis, and I wanted to make sure that great Jewish fiction didn't get lost. So we just came out with our 14th issue. We've published over 200 works of first-rate, really excellent works of fiction that never before were published in English. We also publish works translated into English from other languages, 11 different languages, including Croatian, Russian, Hebrew, Yiddish, French, Spanish, Ladino. We are very, very proud of that element, and it is a labor of love. We subsist on donations, but it's free. All you have to do is sign your name, and you get the issues when they come out several times a year. It's a great joy.
And that's www.jewishfiction.net.
Yes, exactly. We're privileged to have published some of the greatest and most well-known writers living today, including Aaron Appelfeld, Aleph Beit Yehoshua, some great Israeli writers and Yiddish writers, Chava Rosenfarb, the great Montreal Yiddish writer. I would say a third of every issue is famous people, but then we make sure that all the rest of the space is for great writers whom I think of as not yet well known.
Nora Gold, thank you very much for doing this.
Thank you. It was a pleasure. Thank you.
Nora Gold is the author of the book Fields of Exile, published by Dundurn Press. And a couple of announcements now. Jewish Public Library, Monday evening, November 10th at 7:30, there will be a book launch. The book Demonic to Divine, The Double Life of Shlamis Yellin. Shlamis Yellin, as you know, was a Montreal writer. And this book is written by her daughter, Gilly Yellen Hirsch, and Nancy Morelli. And it's about the troubled life of Shlamis Yellin. That's Monday, 7:30 at the Jewish Library. And as well at the library, Wednesday, November the 12th, they're going to be having their Yehud Siegel Awards to honor various authors on Jewish topics. There will be a number of authors there, and this event is free. Refreshments will be served after the presentation. So that's Wednesday evening, November 12th, 7:30, at the Jewish Public Library. And time is going now. We've got to go. Stay tuned for Stan and Mort. And we're going to close with the music, some Israeli music, What Else, by Fran Avni. Bye now.
Consultation publique de Montréal et le Bureau de la Ville intelligente et numérique de Montréal désirent sonder la population sur comment la ville intelligente et les nouvelles technologies peuvent rendre Montréal plus inclusive, solidaire et innovante. L'opération se déroulera sous forme de causerie sous le thème de la diversité culturelle dimanche 9 novembre de 13h30 à 16h30 à la Bibliothèque de la Maison culturelle et communautaire de Montréal-Nord au 12002 boulevard Roland. On compte sur votre participation pour la pleine réussite de cette démarche visant le bien-être du plus grand nombre. L'inscription est obligatoire, soit sur le site internet à villeintelligente.montréal.ca/participer/ ou en appelant au 514-328-4000, poste 4132.
Cinemania is 20 years old and will celebrate its ongoing strong attachment towards the French and Belgian cinema from Tuesday, November 6th to Sunday, November 16th. At the Imperial Cinema, Cinemania screens 35 films, all North American premieres, including Canada and Quebec, and our collaboration with the Cinémathèque Québécoise, where retrospective tributes are screened in honor of the great names in cinema. Cinemania is a family fun festival for all. Visit our website, www.festivalcinemania.com.
Radio Centreville, 102.3 FM.